Join us for tonight's comprehensive Bible study, The Life of Abraham, From Ur to the Covenant of Promise. Journey through scripture, prophecy, and faith, uncovering the story of the man God called the father of many nations.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Last Christian, another episode where we're going to be teaching. We're, I don't know how many years into this. I think we're like a year and a half in, and we're up to Genesis chapter 12, so that's exciting. Really like 11 and a half into 12. We're going to be talking about Abraham and the whole life story, but we're going to be looking into other writings about him as well and discuss their authenticity. So that should be fun. So, hey, JD, what do you think about that? We talk about Abraham.
I am excited about it, actually. I've been waiting to get to this for a while, and because I think if there's anything that will get a group going faster, it's about something to do with Abraham and who the true descendant is. You know, because the Muslims they want to say it's Muhammad or whatever, and you know, I've done some research on this, and we got the answer for you. And I can tell you this: the Islamic nation is not going to like what's written in the Holy Bible. That's for sure. Because it's really clear.
Make up their own stuff as they
go. It's really, really, really clear.
There's a lot. There's other sons of Abraham too. Like when he had six kids with Keturah. So you got the Medes over there. You got a whole bunch of people that are also descendants of Abraham. But we're going to look at the only begotten son of Abraham, which was Isaac, because that's what it says. Right. So he has other sons, and that's also parallels, and that's fun. But what was it? You know, we're going to hit on replacement theology, because a lot of people will say, "Hey, we're the seed of Abraham now." We're going to talk about that. Educate you a little bit about that.
I've been in debates with a couple of individuals on that exact subject over the past several days. David, before we go on there, I want to go back to yesterday. It's got to be on everybody's radar by now. If you haven't heard, we did lose Charlie Kirk to an assassin's bullet. And I had it released on both the Last Christian website and also Revelation Radio website, and I want to read this because I think the man deserves it. And that is, today we mourn the loss of Charlie Kirk, a man whose voice, passion, and conviction left a lasting imprint on America and the conservative movement. His life was tragically cut short, but his mission and message will echo for generations. Charlie was a fighter from the very beginning. At a young age, he stepped into the arena, founding Turning Point USA with a simple but powerful conviction that America's youth should not be surrendered to socialist ideology, but awakened to the enduring truths of freedom, faith, and personal responsibility. Through countless speeches, interviews, and tireless advocacy, Charlie ignited a fire in young conservatives across the nation. He was never afraid to stand boldly for biblical truth in a culture that sought to silence it. He believed deeply in America's founding principles, in the sanctity of life, in the value of faith and family, and in the God-given freedoms entrusted to this nation. His words inspired students to challenge the status quo, to think critically, and to live courageously. Charlie was more than a public voice. He was a devoted husband to Erica and a loving father to their two children. He often spoke of his faith in Jesus Christ and his desire to see a new generation rise up with courage, conviction, and clarity. His leadership was not merely political, it was spiritual, pointing others to a higher standard and a greater hope. The manner of his passing is a tragedy, but his life is not defined by violence. It's defined by faithfulness to his calling, by his commitment to truth, and by his relentless fight to keep America anchored in the values that made her great. We remember him today with heavy hearts, but also with gratitude for the battles he fought, for the inspiration he gave, and for the legacy he leaves behind. Charlie Kirk lived with purpose, and though his time was short, his impact will endure. May his wife and children find peace in the arms of the Lord. May his vision continue through the countless lives he touched, and may his memory strengthen us all to stand boldly, speak truthfully, and live faithfully until the day we are reunited in eternity. Rest in peace, Charlie. Your race is finished. but the torch you carried now passes on. And I, you know, in a way, David, that's really a good prayer, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to say, in Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We ask for comfort for and provision for his wife and kids in this tough time. And we know that that this definitely will be a turning point. That's for sure. You watch what happens now out there.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a wild ride, folks.
And we wanted to... We want it peaceful. We want it peaceful. I want to make sure we get that across. You know, we're not into revenge here.
So you can watch the hearts that are changed because of it, and say, well, even some of those folks that you know, or maybe didn't agree with him,
right,
will all of a sudden say, well, you don't kill people you don't agree with,
right?
So
exactly.
They'll switch sides too. So as usual, in his death, he'll lead more to Christ than even in his life.
Amen. I agree. All right, David, with that, sir, we'll go ahead and get into this study, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and, you know, Abraham also was sent up and went to sacrifice his son as well. So we're going to look into that. But so obviously we know that he started out as Abram, and then as the story goes on, when God called him out, he was Abraham.
Right.
But I wanted to just give people the overview today, but not just from, the biblical view, because there's other history books. So, again, we take them with understanding. They're not canon, as we would call it, but they do offer insight. And some of them are pretty funny, actually.
Right.
Yeah. So he was in Genesis 11. That's where we really see it, 26 to 32. It says Terah. Terah was his dad. Okay. So Terah was 76. Or lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, Ur of the Chaldees. So that's going to be important as we go too.
Yeah.
And Abram took Nahor. Abram and Nahor took them wives. The names of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. So there, you can make your own plot.
But Sarai, I don't know how to pronounce it, but she was barren. She had no child. So that comes into play here in a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, and that's going to play into a lot of stuff that we're going to see later. But his wife's name was Sarah. So Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and Abram's wife, and they went forth from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. And when they came to unto Haran and dwelt there, and the days of Terah were 205 years old. So he lived quite a bit.
Yeah.
And Terah died in Haran.
Okay,
we start to see it go down after that.
Yeah. Now, in my study today, I had never really paid too much attention to this before, because you were getting into the begatting stuff. And I told you a long time ago that back when I was reading the Bible, and I will admit to the fault of it, every time I read the Bible, I never paid much attention to the begatting. Okay, well, this is begat, then that's begatting. Okay, well, let's begat out of that and get to something, right? So for the first time, I really read it in a great detail today, and it wasn't so much the begat part, but it was the part in Genesis, let's see, this is 11, verse number 31, where it says that he went out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. Okay, well, when I saw Canaan, I got the light bulb going, like, boom. Okay,
yep.
Canaan is Israel. Canaan is the promised land, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, well, see, I had missed that in all of my reading of the Bible. I had missed that up until today, this very day, okay, because I was skipping over the begatting. So clue to everybody out there. Don't skip over the Begatten. Go ahead and read it because you're going to find some stuff. Okay. Yep. Sorry, David, I had to throw that in there because I think it's important because it lays out the fact that God ordained Israel
that land,
all the way back in Genesis 11. Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, so we're going to see all these things. Now we see Lot, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Lot was the son of Haran. And so we know Haran died, but then we're going to find out how he died. So that's going to be interesting.
Okay.
And now he says, you know, he's always talks about Sarai being his half-sister, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So he talks about that, but it doesn't say that here. So that's interesting, right? And so the only place that we get that he's a half-sister is from Genesis 12 and 10. It said, Abram and Sarah go to Egypt because of the famine. And Abram says, I know that there are fair women to look upon. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well for thee for my sake. And Pharaoh took some.
Well, okay, to jump in again, I remember that story very well. But it never dawned on me until rereading, and I'm not talking about today's rereading, but, you know, another time, that they were, you know, brother and half-sister or whatever. And that hadn't ever come to my mind before. And then I think there's probably some people out there going, tell me about that. What's up with that?
Yep.
You know?
So, and it's not until we get to Genesis chapter 20 where he says, you know, indeed, she is my sister. She is the sister of my father, but not the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother.
Right.
And she became my wife. So this clarifies that, you know, she was the half sister. But I don't know why we don't see that in the narrative now, other than the fact that, you know, Genesis is a synopsis. And, you know, we go over that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
This is the basics of what you need to know. And basically it's like, okay, here's the main story. It does this and this and this and this and this. You want more information on these stories, there's this book called Jubilees. You can go in there and read it. And then there's there's other writings where we get other information from.
Yeah, and that just illuminates it a little bit more, gives you more detail. Again, research. It's good research or it's good, what would you call it, extra information or whatever.
And that's what Ezra had said, too. He said there'll be the regular books. That's for everybody to know. Right. And for those who want to be learned, there's an extra set of books. So that's really where we're at with the extra set of books.
Right.
So it doesn't, you know, and then we'll reiterate this with people complain about, oh, you're reading from a, you know, a non-biblical book.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've probably read the newspaper today, so.
Right.
You know, and you kind of believe what's in there a little bit.
Sometimes. You can believe some facts. Sometimes. And
Well, maybe not today, but depends on which newspaper. New York Post is okay.
Right.
But that's the only place we see it, where he just essentially lied to Pharaoh in chapter 12. But then he specifically says, indeed, she is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother.
But he did this more than once from my
reading. Yeah, he did it on two different occasions.
Yeah.
But I was always looking for, well, where does it say it was his sister?
Yeah.
Because right here, it clearly says in verse 31, Abram and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son. So Lot was his grandson. And Sarai, his daughter-in-law. His son Abram's wife. And they went forth from them, from Ur of the Chaldees, to go into the land of Canaan. They came unto Haran and dwelt there. See, it doesn't say that here. It just says it's his daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
No. So it's interesting, and I didn't find that in any of the other writings as well.
What got me was the fact that he kept offering up Sarah to, you know, all these other guys.
He's listen, you're going to look, maybe he'll be nice to us. I'll just give him my wife.
But, you know, I mean, Also in Genesis, it clearly says that he is a prophet, or he said, you know, this is a prophet. Well, this prophet, he was scared to death to go into different places without giving up his mm-hmm. wife, you know, because she was really hot. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right?
Yep. Even at that age.
Even at 90 years old, right. Okay.
Yeah. So that's crazy. Well, I mean, it probably wasn't that old here, but yeah, that's when she had the kid. So that was cool. Also, Isaac calls Rebecca his sister out of fear in Gerar. Mm-hmm. So there's another. So he kind of copied his father on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still trying to find where it like would even say that. Does she even say that? So Abram said, indeed, she is my sister in mm-hmm. Genesis 20, verse 12. Actually, let's just look it up. Okay. And we'll read right around it, too. All right, and
I'm going to keep digging the earlier ones, and you go to 20.
All right, so Abimelech called Abraham and said unto us, what have you done? Why have I offended thee? So, let me see. Now, Abimelech did not come near her because he had a dream. So, here's the deal. Abimelech had the dream. He mm-hmm. said, the dream, the Lord says, don't take that man's wife or else, you know, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then Abimelech goes to Abram and says, why did you tell me she's your sister? Okay. Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. then it goes on. Where was it? 12. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Yeah. My question is this. It says that Abraham said that.
Yeah.
Does that necessarily mean it's true?
Hmm. Well, he's not even Abraham yet, right?
Right. Well, so, here, yeah, it said, then Abraham said, yeah, in verse 11.
Okay, so Abraham said,
because I thought surely the fear of God is not in his place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake, and yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me. And in every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. Basically he's saying, say is my brother's. But my question is, Abraham said this.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me like maybe he's trying to play both sides against the middle. You know, maybe he's, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he's telling like a half-truth. I mean, you know, where he's got like his fingers crossed behind his back or something. You know, yeah, she's my sister. You know, I'm not going to tell you the other half of it. I don't know. I don't know, David. You got me on that one. You explain it.
Mm-hmm. All right, but because it doesn't say that she was. It clearly says that she was the daughter-in-law.
Right.
So that's my question.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so I guess we're just going to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he screwed up other things, too.
Yeah.
But it clearly doesn't say she was his half-sister. It mm-hmm. said Abram said,
yeah,
this is my half-sister,
yeah,
to Abimelech.
Okay.
So did Abram lie to Abimelech?
Maybe.
And by saying this, and was she really his half sister? That's it. Okay.
Know.
So we'll leave that with everybody out there. Hey, if you have comments about that, and either side, it will entertain.
Yeah.
We're just examining this truth. Just send it to us. What's the email again?
office@lastchristian.net. Or if you're watching it, you know, or listening to it, to one of the sound things, you can always post comments or whatever if you want to.
Yeah. If you're on a video, you could post a comment, mm-hmm. or you can send it to me, thehiddenday@protonmail.com.
Yeah, I can do that too. Okay.
That's cool. Depends on who you want to answer.
Yeah, exactly. David answers faster than I do. Okay, go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
I might be sharper too. I don't know.
Yes, you are. When it comes to the Bible,
like,
yeah,
I
will always, I will always
let read it.
Yeah,
I mean in my tongue. I'm talking about my tongue. All right, so there's kind of the story there in the beginning of mm-hmm. Abram. Now it's interesting when we have the Book of Jubilees. It adds a little bit to it and claims Abram rejected the idolatry at a young age, debating with his fathers and other about the futility of worshiping idols.
Okay.
So I want to read that too before we go further into this.
Okay.
Because there's so much about Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
But let's stick to his birth and young age for now.
Okay.
All right. So his father had to say, let me see. So, and it came to pass in the sixth week, the seventh year thereof, I'm in Jubilees chapter 12 in the R.H. Charles version. Abram said to his father, saying, Father, and he said, Behold, here I am, son. And he said, What help and profit have we from these idols which thou dost worship, and before which thou dost bow thyself? For there is no spirit in them, for they are dumb forms and misleading of the heart. Worship them not. So Abraham is telling his father, these are just inanimate objects. Stop
mm-hmm.
worshiping them.
Mm-hmm.
Worship the God of heaven, who causes the rain and the dew to descend on the earth and does everything upon the earth and has created everything by his word. And all life is from before his face.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you worship things that have no spirit in them? For they are the work of men's hands, and on your shoulders do you bear them. So he's basically saying, you got to carry them around. He says, you're worshiping these things, but you have to make them, and you have to carry them around. So how are they your gods? And you have no help from them. They don't do anything for you. But they are a great cause of shame to those who make them, and a misleading of the heart to those who worship them. So worship them not. So here's Abram basically chastising his father for being an idol maker.
Yeah, that's a son telling his father off. Yeah.
Yeah, in a rightly way. So it just shows that Abram was spiritual from a young age.
Well,
and his father said it to him.
I was just going to say, you know, the very next thing there is his father's kind of acknowledging it. I'm sorry for stepping on you. Go right ahead and read it.
His father said to him, I also know it, my son. Now check this out. This is where a lot of people are today. But what shall I do with a people who have made me to serve before them? In other words, everybody's expecting me to make these idols.
Right.
That's my job. And if I tell them the truth, they will slay me, for their soul cleaves to them to worship and honor them. So keep silent, my son, lest they slay thee. And the words he spake to his two brothers, and these words he spake to his two brothers, and they were angry with him, and he kept silent. So basically, they beat down Abraham now to.
Okay,
to
so
be quiet.
I'm trying to make sure I'm understanding that one point correctly. So the words that he spoke to his brothers, they were angry at Abraham, not Daddy. They were
right.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was on the same page there. Go ahead.
So he was quiet. So a little bit later on, it says right here. In 40th Jubilee. So basically, that was 19. Oh, come on, 1904 Anno Mundi.
Okay,
and then in 1925 Anno Mundi. So some 21 years later. So he was quiet for a while, for 21 years.
Okay.
Abram took himself a wife and named herself Sarai, the daughter of his father. See, now this says Sarai was the daughter of his father. Okay?
Yeah.
So we find that. And she became his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So Jubilees will confirm that it's his half-sister.
Okay.
And Haran, his brother, took himself a wife in the third week, 1928 AM, and she bare him a son in the seventh year of this week. 1932, so 4 years later, called his name Lot. And Nahor's brother took to himself a wife. And in the 60th year of the life of Abram, that is the fourth week, the fourth year thereof, 1936 AM, Abram rose by the night and burned the house of the idols.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so finally in 1936, from 1904 to 1936, so 32 years later, Abram gets up and he burns down the idol house. Right? And he burned down the house of the idols, and he burned all that was in the house, and no man knew it. And they arose in the night and sought to save their gods in the midst of the fire. And Haran hasted to save them. But the fire flamed over him, and he was burnt in the fire, and he died in Ur of the Chaldees before Terah, his father. And they buried him in Ur of the Chaldees. And Terah went forth from Ur of the Chaldees, he and his sons, to go to the land of Lebanon and into the land of Canaan. And he dwelt there in the land of Haran. And Abram dwelt with Terah, his father, in Haran for 2 weeks of years. So for another 14 years.
Okay.
So you can see where we're going here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A long time. This, you know, this we get these stories, and like they're actually over a long period of time.
Yeah.
So that's why he got Lot. That's why Lot's father died. And that's why it was, you know, Abram's nephew. Because Abraham started a fire to burn up all the idols. And Haran went in to save him, and he got burned up in a fire. So now he's got to take care of Lot.
Yeah, I guess that was is that sort of a requirement type thing with that, you know, that you got to take care of another.
I mean, probably. I think you know, if you die without any kids, then your brother has to come in and have a kid for you. So probably.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
I'm just not, you know, I'm really not up to speed on all that stuff. So
I wasn't around back then, but I can kind of.
Yeah,
probably
kinda makes sense. Yeah, it kind of makes sense. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you think about it today. You know, you have different people in your family. If something was to happen, you know, it happened in our family. You know, if something was to happen, all of a sudden you've got people that you didn't expect to have living with you. You know, I mean, it does happen. And maybe, you know, in some cases. It's kind of the process of elimination. Well, so-and-so can't do it. And believe me, we went through this, actually. So-and-so can't do it. No, this person won't do it. This person we wouldn't put them with.
No, not that one.
You know, it's kind of like a process of elimination where, you know, you're the one that doesn't get eliminated, I guess. I don't know how else to say it. So, it's kind of
crazy. I don't know. But now we're out of time in the first half. We're going to get into some fun stuff in the second half. Wait till you see it. We're going to talk about cool things that you probably would say are kind of new agey these days.
Yeah.
But you'll find out that Abraham did all this stuff.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Abraham and Isaac were a type of God the Father and God the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus paid the price for your sin. So you don't have to. So receive him now before the second half. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys then. Bye.
Launch your future in broadcasting with Revelation Radio's Apprentice Program, where real positions mean real experience. Whether you're a student, a retiree, or anywhere in between, you'll get hands-on training in show hosting, production, audio editing, script writing, research, graphic design, even field reporting with official press credentials. Local to East Texas? You'll have access to our local studio and learn on professional gear. Not nearby? Many roles are remote or hybrid with flexible hours that fit your life. You'll be mentored by experienced Christian broadcasters, build a resume that stands out, and help amplify truth to listeners across America and around the world. No prior experience required, just a passion for truth and a desire to grow. Visit revelationradio.net to see openings and details. Then email office@revelationradio.net with your interest, your location, and the roles you'd like to explore.
If you are hungry to learn more about Bible scripture and wish to gain a greater insight into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, then we invite you to join Dudley Anderson every evening for his internationally syndicated and powerful radio broadcast, Insight, a half-hour Bible talk show featuring renowned Bible teachers and guests where faith meets clarity and God's truth meets everyday life. Each and every night, Dudley brings you fresh perspectives, biblical wisdom, and heart-stirring teaching. Because the more we open Scripture, the more it opens for us. Insight, a part of his ministry at surereality.net, explores timeless truths and discovers the sure reality of Christ's love, hope, and purpose. Don't miss a single broadcast of Insight with Dudley Anderson, every night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where faith comes alive, one Bible verse and one exciting scripture at a time.
Is your spiritual race feeling solitary or slow? Run with Horses invites you to pick up the pace. Each day at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Revelation Radio brings you Run with Horses, a powerful show brought to you by Norman and Susan Smith, designed to help followers of Jesus grow deeper, aim higher, and live on mission. Draw strength from biblical discipleship, develop healthy marriages, and build godly families, all through conversations that are intentional, spirit-led, and deeply influential. If you long to be an intentional disciple maker, someone who leads others, lives humbly, and models God's word, this show is for you. Run with Horses equips you to see life through the lens of Scripture, embrace God's refining process, and grow as His warrior. Don't just listen, run. Join Norman and Susan on Run with Horses daily at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio.
Okay, hopefully you received the Lord during the commercial break if you haven't already. So that's mm-hmm. good. So we're talking about Abraham, right? And then, mm-hmm. So his father, so here we are, Haran, his brother, died in the fire that Abram started. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's why he's got to take care of Lot.
Right.
Terah picks everybody up and he moves and he goes, you know, into Lebanon and then into the land of Canaan, and he dwelt in the land of Haran. And then they were there for like 14 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now we're into the sixth week in the fifth year of this Jubilee. That's everything's marked in Jubilees. That's why it's called the Book of Jubilees. Mm-hmm. And that's a 50 year mm-hmm. period. Abram sat up. Check this out. He sat up. I told you it was going to be interesting. Throughout the night on the new moon of the seventh month to observe the stars from evening to the morning in order to see what would be the character of the year with regard to the rains. And he was alone and he sat and observed. What stands out to you there?
Well, going back to our earlier studies, we see the gospel play out in the stars.
Right.
So what stands out to me there is that he is, and people are going to jump on me for this, David, so you're going to have to get me out of it, okay? But people are, he's actually reading the stars to figure out what he needs to do or what he's dealing with. Now, I'm putting mm-hmm. that in my words, but I know you've got better words for it where it doesn't sound so crazy, right? Or non-biblical, whatever you want to call
yep.
it. So I'll let you explain what I tried to say.
So I notice a lot of things in here, and it's really, really interesting, actually. Number one, he's looking at the stars to see what kind of rain they're going to have this year. Mm-hmm. Like a farmer's
right.
almanac.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And he sat there in his regard because God wrote the history of the world within there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how he derived all that from the stars, but it clearly says that it was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. more than that, I mean, right now, we got Rapcon 1, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. We're coming talking, right everybody's on high rapture alert in this particular month.
Uh-huh.
In case you don't know what month it is now, it is the month of September mm-hmm. in 2025. And it's
right.
an unbelievable amount of people are on high rapture alert.
Yeah. I was on high, just to let you know, what was it, day before yesterday? I was on high rapture alert. You know why? Because all of a sudden, there was a bunch of drones that were flying into Poland, shot out of Russia, and some of them were hitting inside Poland, and people were saying, okay, we're going to invoke the fifth, whatever it is, in NATO, and they actually closed down airports, they were moving tanks, they were doing all kinds of stuff, and the media wasn't picking up on it at all, and I'm sitting there reading it as it's happening, saying, Amir, our friend Amir, was saying, mm-hmm. look out, you know, World War III is close. You know, I mean, I'm reading all this stuff, and the news is on silly
silent.
Stuff. you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. So anyway, I was on rapture alert then. That was my point. I was on rapture alert right then.
Well, what is the purpose of like September being the typical rapture alert?
I don't know.
And what holiday might be there in the Jewish calendar or Moedim?
Oh yeah, I know it. I know it. I know it, but I can't remember it.
Well, nowadays they call it Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Rosh
okay.
is head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ha is the Shana is year. Head of mm-hmm. the year. It's the Jewish New Year.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But remember the year was changed around. Now the agricultural one starts in Aviv, and that's in the spring.
Okay.
And that's when the original one was. So when is Tishri 1 is actually Rosh Hashanah? Or Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah is a day of blowing trumpets. It's also mm-hmm. called that. It's also called Yom HaKaseh, the day that is hidden, or the hidden day, which is where we get the name of our ministry. This Tishri 1 just happens to be coming up, and Tishri just happens to be the seventh month.
Mm.
So look, Abram was sat up through the night on the new moon of mm-hmm. the seventh month to observe the stars from evening to the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why? So this is long before Torah.
Yeah.
Okay. Long mm-hmm. before Moses had to have the feast days. And here he is on Tishri 1 going into Tishri 2 because he's looking for that new moon.
Yeah.
Okay. He's looking for the coming of the Lord.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's wild because that's exactly what it is. When the Bible says no man knows a day or the hour, they literally, that idiom is specifically for Tishri 1 when the feast of Yom Teruah is to take place.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's the only feast that is on the first of the month as opposed to the full moon in the middle of the month.
Oh.
So, you know, or a jubilee afterwards. You know, like Pentecost.
Wow.
So, but that's why the idiom became, because they didn't know when does a new month begin. Well, you have to literally got to sit out and watch the moon until that first little slither of the new moon came out. And here we see Abram way back then. He sat up throughout the night because why? He's watching for the new moon. He's watching for Yom Teruah.
Okay.
He's watching for the coronation of the king.
Uh-huh.
He's watching for that hidden day. To observe the stars from morning to evening, and no one knows the day or the hour. It could be today, it could be tomorrow.
Wow, that is, I'd never even thought of that before. That is incredible.
Yeah, so we just glance over it. Oh, he sat up through the night on the new moon of the seventh month.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what? That's Tishri 1. So Abram was watching for the rapture back then.
Yeah, he was. Oh,
maybe
man.
He was, I don't know. Rapture, what's that?
Oh, wow.
It's not in the Bible. Oh, we don't have the Bible yet.
Oh. Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's just wild to me. That's mm-hmm. just wild. We probably should do an entire series just
on probably. I'll have to call in L.A. or something, L.A. Marzulli.
Yeah.
And
a word came into his heart and said, all the signs of the stars and the signs of the moon and the signs of the sun are in the hand of the Lord. No one knows the day or the hour except my Father. Boom. So that's just wild.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I search them out? That's a really good question. So all this Rapcon 1 we got, they're all, and we got the mockers saying, no one knows the day or hour. God knows. We'll just do what he says. But here, he's clearly saying this right here. Why do I search them out? Why do I search him out?
Yeah.
Here's the answer. Jubilees in what chapter? 11, 18? I forgot. I think it's 11. Oh, man, I lost my... 12. Yeah, it's in 12.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
So 12, 18. Come on. What's going on here? Here we go. All the signs, all the stars and the moon are all in the hand of the Lord. Why do I search them out? Because if he desires, he causes it to rain morning and evening. If he desires, he withholds it. All things are in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he prayed that night and said, my God, God most high, thou alone art my God. And thee and thy dominion have I chosen. and thou hast created all things, and all things that are the work of thy hands. Deliver me from the hands of evil spirits who have dominion over the thoughts of men's hearts, and let them not lead me astray from thee, my God. To establish thou me and my seed forever. And we are Abraham's seed. Mm-hmm. That we go not astray from henceforth and forevermore. And he said, shall I return to Ur of the Chaldees, who seek my face, that I may return to them? Am I to remain here in this place? The right path before thee, prosper it in the hands of thy servant, that he may fulfill it. In other words, wherever you want me to go, make that prosperous. Okay. That I may not walk in the deceitfulness of my heart and my God. So basically he's saying, lead me, tell me where you want me to go and show me. You know, that, and it's going to be a glorious place where you show me to go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he made an end of speaking and praying. And behold, the word of the Lord was sent to him through me, saying, get thee up from thy country and from thy kindred and from thy house and thy father into a land which I will show thee, and make from thee a great and numerous nation. So now he's calling them to the new place.
Yeah.
So look at this parallel. When, you know, when we get raptured on, you know, most likely on Tishri 1, because that's the next feast day to be fulfilled, and Jesus fulfills all the feast days, we go to the new land. Mm-hmm. We're called out of this land and go, it'll make us a great numerous nation. And so, it's pretty powerful. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be blessed in the earth. And in thee all the families of the earth be blessed. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. So mm-hmm. this parallels Genesis very much so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then there's more to the story. And I will be a God to thee and thy son and to thy son's son and to mm-hmm. all thy seed. Fear not, from henceforth unto all generations of the earth, I am God. And the Lord God said, open his mouth and ears that he may hear and speak with his mouth and with the language which has been revealed, for it has ceased from the mouths of all children of men from the day of the overthrow of Babel.
Oh, okay.
And I opened his mouth. Mm-hmm. So now he's speaking with their pure language again. So mm-hmm. we got a Pentecost kind of thing going on here where everybody, they were just talking and they heard in their own language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so gotcha. That's a restoration mm-hmm. of Babel. So here we're seeing a similar thing here. The day it says, the language which has been revealed for it has ceased from the mouths of all children. So we're going to go back to the original. I began to speak to with him in Hebrew in the tongue of creation. Okay.
Tongue of creation. I missed tongue of creation. What? Wait a minute. Slow down here.
Yep.
Tongue of creation.
Slow down, mister.
Yeah, tell me about the tongue of creation here.
Well, therein lies. Yeah, that therein lies my possible supposition.
Okay.
That the original language was Hebrew.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but I just wanted verification there. Okay, all right, I'm with you.
Like in the original Hebrew, with all the pictographs and everything
mm-hmm,
else,
because mm-hmm,
it just makes sense. A child can learn how to speak Hebrew like in a few minutes because of pictographs.
Yeah. Okay.
And then all the other parsing stuff, you could put words together, and with the pictures, you can know what the word means.
Okay.
That's why it's so easy, but it's so big and intense as well. That's how God does everything. It's super easy. A kid can understand it, but super intense that you'll never understand it all.
Right. Yeah, I'm still working on 67 years old, that's for sure.
Yeah. So now we find that Sarah is indeed his half-sister mm-hmm. because it wasn't just Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. And now Hebrew is the tongue of creation. Okay, and he's sitting out here on Tishri 1, or basically Yom Teruah. Mm-hmm. He's sitting out there watching the moon. Let's say, just like they do today.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This was, what, 4,000 years ago?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's just like they do today. They watch that moon because they're looking for that the coronation of the king, mm-hmm. if you would. Mm-hmm. And he took the books of his fathers, and these were written in Hebrew. And he transcribed them, and he began from henceforth to study them, and I made known to him that which he could not understand. So if you ask God for wisdom, shall he not give you wisdom? Mm-hmm. He made known what he could not understand. It's mm-hmm. real simple. Yeah. You ask God, he'll give you wisdom. And he studied them that, during...
I tell people that all the time. I think it's a point that needs to be made, because you've made it on occasion as well. And that is, if you have any doubts about God or whatever, what I want you to do is go to him and just ask him. That's all you got to do. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be a legit question. This is a really important point. You can't just say, okay, God, if you're there, go ahead, show me. You know, you can't do that. You've got to actually go to the Father and ask him a legitimate question that comes from your heart. And if you do that, he will answer you.
Yeah. Not with your, like, attitude. Say, oh, yeah, prove it to me, you sky daddy.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No. when you change your heart, I'll answer you.
Yeah, you might not like his reply if you do it otherwise. I know there was a country, I think it was Italy, where they dared God to do something, and I'd be dadgummed if he didn't do it.
You're good. Yeah. How you like volcanoes?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, go ahead.
they're having a revival over there right now. Our friend over there is coming.
They are.
So he studied. So God helped him understand what he didn't understand, and he mm-hmm. studied during the rainy 6 months. The rain for 6 months over there. And it came to pass in the seventh year, the sixth week, or 1953 AM, that he spoke to his father, informed him that he would leave Haran to go into the land of Canaan to see it and return to him. And Terah, his father, said unto him, go in peace. So again, we're talking about Abraham, and he's, mm-hmm. his father mm-hmm. says to go in peace. Right. So his father still loves him, even though he's doing that idol thing.
Yeah.
So, but he did make this clear. Terah said, may the eternal God make thy path straight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's starting to learn a few things, Terah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those other ones that burnt up, they're not so eternal.
No.
And the Lord be with thee and protect thee from all evil, and grant unto thee grace, mercy, and favor before those who see thee. And may none of the children of men have power over thee to harm thee. Go in peace. Mm-hmm. And it still is today.
Yes.
You know, they have no power to harm them.
Right.
You know, you said, death, where is thy sting? Grave, mm-hmm. where is your victory? Mm-hmm. It's the other way around. But, yeah, so, yeah, yeah. And Bible, in the New Testament, he says, you know, don't fear him who could, you know, harm the body. Feel harm to take your body and then your spirit.
Right.
So, and after I see a land pleasant to thy eyes to dwell in, then arise and take me to thee, and take Lot with thee, the son of Haran, thy brother, as thine own son, and the Lord be with thee. So here we see Terah saying, hey, take Lot with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Nahor, thy brother, leave with me until I return us in peace, and we'll go with thee altogether. You remember Nahor, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
All right. So
yeah. Go ahead.
He has a couple girls, and one of them is Rebekah.
Right? Okay. Okay.
And then so that's the one who Isaac marries, his cousin.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's it.
I'm trying to keep up. Yeah, I'm digging through these notes as you're talking. I'm trying to figure it out myself. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So that's kind of the young life of where he came from. Now, Jasher gets a little bit weird. You want to read Jasher?
I don't have it up, David, but you can.
No, I mean, would you like us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just tell me what chapter it is, and I'll look it up.
All right. So we're going to start in chapter 8. Okay. And, you know, some of the backstory to this, okay. Nimrod, we say, became the Gibeorim. He became a mighty man, but he put on these clothes.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about earlier in Jubilees, talked about the writings that were out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nimrod got these clothes, and that's how he became great, because he wore these special garments.
Yeah, okay.
So I suspect they were garments because it says so, but I wonder if it's also a metaphor for putting on, you know, the speaking these words over and over, put on the garment of praise, as we would.
Okay.
So if we're praising God, it's a garment of praise because it's a covering. I wonder if these garments are like a metaphor for maybe these spells and curses that they have.
It's possible.
All right. I'll have to look into that, but right now we're talking about Abram. Okay. So chapter 8 in Jasher. Now, I'm going to put a little caveat in here. Jasher is more kind of a Midrash kind of thing, which is basically the ancient rabbis embellishing stories so you can get the point across.
Mm-hmm.
Think of something like VeggieTales. They're trying to tell a Bible story, but it's really not a tomato and a cucumber, walking around talking. Nebuchadnezzar was not a giant pickle.
It's embellishing stories is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's embellishing the story to get the point across.
Mm-hmm.
Not as bad as VeggieTales, but who doesn't love Madame Blueberry? I mean, come on, give me a break. And the knights. The grapes. Okay. What about the grapes of wrath? They're always in the VeggieTales.
Yeah.
The grapes of wrath.
Yep.
We are the grapes of wrath. We never take a bath.
Oh, good grief.
You got to love VeggieTales.
All right.
Go have kids, and then you have an excuse to watch them.
Yeah, for real.
But anyway, so Jasher is kind of like that, but in a Midrashic kind of way. There, and not with the childish one, but to embellish the story. So, and it was at night that Abram was born that all the servants of Terah and the wise men of Nimrod and his conjurers came and ate and drank in the house of Terah, and they rejoiced with him on that night. And when all the wise men and conjurers went out of the house of Terah, they lifted their eyes toward heaven that night to look at the stars. So here we are looking at the stars again.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the story with this Abraham baby? Okay. And to look at the stars. And they saw, and behold, one very large star came from the east and ran in the heavens. And he swallowed up the four stars from the four sides of the heavens. So this is telling them a story.
Sounds like.
And all the wise men of the king and his conjurers were astonished at the sight. And the sages understood this matter, and they knew its import. So if that's a very large star, the word star is, in the Greek, actually, is a stare, and it means something strewn in the sky.
Okay.
Not necessarily what we think of the gaseous balls. So if we see a meteor or an asteroid, they would have called it a star, too. And it sounds like it was something like that. This is a very large star. It came from the east and it ran into heavens. So it was probably some kind of meteor or asteroid.
Yeah, yeah.
Swallowed
up. I mean, that sounds more like I don't know what to call it. What do you call it?
It might have blinded him. It might have been so bright it actually drowned out the other stars in light, or maybe there were other meteors and it just took them out. I don't know. I would suspect
black hole. That's what I was thinking of.
Black hole. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that's what it was by any stretch, but I mean, swallowed them up. I don't know.
I would suspect it's more that the light was so bright you couldn't see the other four stars.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And all, so check this out. All the wise men of the king and his conjurers were astonished at the sight, and the sages understood this matter, and they knew its import. And they said to each other, "This only betokens the child that has been born to Terah this night, who will grow up and be fruitful, multiply, and possess all the earth, he and his children forever. And he and his seed will slay great kings and inherit their lands." And the wise men and the conjurers went home that night. And in the morning, all these men and conjurers rose up early and assembled in an appointed house. And they spoke and said to each other, "Behold, the sight that we saw last night is hidden from the king and has not been made known to him." Okay. So here's Abram's born. Giant star comes across.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the stargazers. And they're like, they know something's up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go tell the king. Because this is going to be a great man. And where'd it go? And should this thing get known to the king in the latter days, he will say to us, "Why have you concealed this matter from me?" And then we shall all suffer death. Therefore, let us go now and tell the king the sight which we saw and the interpretation of it. Then we shall remain clear. All right, so they're like, if we don't tell him, he's going to kill us later. So let's hurry up and go tell him, right? And they did so. And they all went to the king and bowed down to the ground. And they said, may the king live. May the king live. Mm-hmm. We heard that a son was born to Terah, the son of Nahor. By the way, Terah's wife was named Edna. So Edna, basically, the prince of hosts. And we yesternight came to the house and we ate and drank and rejoiced with him that night. And when thy servants went out of the house of Terah to go to our respective homes to abide there for the night, we lifted up our eyes unto heaven, and we saw a great star coming from the east. And the same star ran with great speed and swallowed up four great stars from the four sides of the heavens. So this thing was big, and it covered the whole sky. Yeah. So obviously, something's up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And thy servants were astonished at the sight which we saw, and were greatly terrified, and we made our judgment upon the sight, and knew by our wisdom that the proper interpretation thereof, that this thing applies to the child that is born to Terah, who will grow up and multiply greatly and become powerful and kill all the kings of the earth and inherit their lands, and he and his seed forever. And now, our Lord and King, we have truly acquainted thee with what we have seen concerning this child. If it seemeth good to the king to give his father value for this child, we will slay him before he shall grow up and increase in the land, and his evil increase against us, that we and our children should perish through his evil. And the king heard their words, and they seemed good in his sight, and sent and called for Terah, and Terah came before the king. So here they are. They're like, oh, this dude's going to be like, it's the same story. What happened with Moses, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They tried to kill him. What happened with Jesus when he was born?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Herod tried to kill them all. Mm-hmm. So here's, we got the same story with Abram, you know, and this was way before all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Here comes his story down. Oh, he's going to be great. Let's hurry up and kill him. So, and the king said to Terah, I have been told thy son was yesternight born to thee, and after this manner was observed in the heavens at his birth. Now, therefore, give me the child that we may slay him before his evil springs up against us, and I will give thee for his value thy house full of silver and gold. So here's Terah. He has a baby. The king says, I'll give you a house full of silver and gold. Give me the baby so I can kill it.
Yeah.
How many people would do that? Probably a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they give up their babies just because they're inconvenienced now.
Right. Exactly.
And then Terah answered the king and said, my lord and king, I've heard thy words, and thy servant shall do all that the king desireth. But the lord and king, I will tell thee what happened to me yesterday. And I may see the advice of the king will give his servant. I will answer the king what he had just spoken. And the king said, speak. All right. So here's the good news. We don't have enough time to finish this story. So you're going to have to tune in next week.
Right. Yeah. There's what do they call it? The cliffhanger. There's your cliffhanger. Yeah. Cool.
Wait till you see what Terah does. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
And it's awesome.
All right.
I know this story, and it's awesome. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good. Tell them the rest of the story. How do these people get saved?
Well, all they've got to do is go to the Lord and let him know you're a sinner, and just admit that to the Lord and tell him that you want to follow Jesus, that you know that Jesus is the Son of God, and you know he came and he died for you on the cross, and he rose after 3 days. He sits at the right hand of the king, and that he's coming back. And if you'll just promise to follow Jesus the rest of the days of your life to the best, very best of your ability, if you'll just do that and put it in the Lord's hands, he will forgive you of your sins, and you will be free, and you will be able to come with David and I and every other Christian living and dead with the moment of the rapture of the church, and we'll meet him in the air, and we'll let the world take care of itself until Jesus comes there and takes care of everything. So until next time, everybody. We hope that you enjoy it, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. We thank you for tuning in and remind you our mission is only possible through the support of people like you. We are truly 100% listener supported. Visit lastchristian.net to support us with your one-time or continuing tax-deductible donation. Or if you like, you can also support our global ministry by shopping with our affiliates, Everyday Dose Coffee, The Conservative Store, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, Christian Booth, and the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies. Remember, we're on the air every evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, on air and online across the world, originating from KRRB Revelation Radio in East Texas at revelationradio.net. Thanks again for listening. And we invite you to join us each evening for another edition of The Last Christian.